Let's look at the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. And as you know, he goes on to talk about the gifts within the body, or one part of the gifts, or however you might want to say that. But what I want us to focus on tonight is that he's asking us to not be conformed to the world. And as Gary talked about this morning, and as all of us know, if you turn the news on for more than 5 minutes, there's a conforming that is trying to take place. Whatever it might be, we'll call it the powers that be, trying to conform us into the shape of the world and to be a part of what they're trying to produce. But how are we going to be transformed from that, or from whatever we are, into what God has for us? How are we going to transform to being what he's called us to be? Well, he said it's done by the renewing of our minds. And one of the reasons that we come here on Sunday night, one of the reasons that we take so much time speaking the word over our life, is to renew our minds to what God has to say about us. And of course, here tonight, we talk about what God has to say about this church, or about the vision that he's brought through Dave Roberson to the prayer center. And I just want to read this. This is posted out front. And just as a reminder, it says, we've been yelling, Tulsa is in revival, for some time, calling it saved. And because we're doing that, then heaven is free to move, not only in the city, but he's free to move in preparing us and changing us. We're inviting him to do all of those things. And so when we come in this place, and we're not only are we calling Tulsa saved, not only are we saying that Jesus is Lord over Tulsa, not only are we saying that Tulsa is in revival, but we're inviting the Holy Spirit to partner with us in transforming our lives to be the vessels that he needs to save our community, to bring revival, to show that Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. Because before Jesus is Lord over Tulsa, he's got to be Lord over my life. He has to be Lord over your life. And I know, I feel like I've been saying this a lot, and over the last few weeks as I've been ministering here, it's really, I want you to realize that I'm not just speaking to you. It's putting a light on my life and shining a light and saying, what do you really believe? You know, do you believe that Jesus is Lord over Tulsa, or are these just words that you're speaking because it's the proper thing to do and it's what we've been trained to do? See, really, speaking the words is not what brings the transformation. It's renewing our mind to these words. It's a part of the process, speaking the word. But we have to allow that word to produce a vision, and allow that vision to produce hope in us, and see that hope before us on a regular daily basis. Just like Abraham, just like all of those who have gone before us, we have to set this picture in our life that our mind can be renewed to that picture. Because until I really believe that Tulsa is in revival, then for me, I'm not going to be able to walk in that and see that. You know, maybe, and each one of us are at a different place. And individually, we have a responsibility, and corporately, we have a responsibility. Individually, we each have to deal with our own unbelief and come to the reality that God is pointing out the areas of our life that need to change and allow Him to give us the power to change that. As Pastor Dave has always taught us, that if you pray long enough in the Holy Ghost, you're either going to change or you're going to quit praying. And we have to be willing to let that search engine light be turned on so bright. And I believe that in this season, it's like we have these prophecies for 2020 that we've called the blueprint for 2020. And it's wonderful, and we've probably had more instruction and information than, or as much as we've had at any other time. Now, someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe there's really any new instruction that we didn't have in 1996 that we have in 2020. I mean, there may be some adjustments, some different things, but I believe it's the same. In my opinion, we could say it's the blueprint for the prayer center. It's the blueprint of Dave Roberson's vision for the prayer center. There's a lot of different things we could say, and that's my point is this, that what's the difference between the blueprint 2020 and blueprint 1996? Well, I believe part of that is timing. Part of it is spiritual accomplishments, if you will. Different levels, different places that we've been, whatever. But I believe what it really is the Lord is bringing our attention back to the foundation and saying, if we're going to have revival, it's going to have to be set upon the foundation that He has decided and not something else. And so I believe that it's an important time for us as individuals to find within ourselves that place where these words are a reality. And that's what's in my heart tonight, and what has been really very strong within me is to make that adjustment. And it's an adjustment that I can't make. But I know that when I say Tulsa is in revival, I mean it with all of my heart. And yet there's something that's not quite there. And so for me, for Hans, I have to look and say, God, I have to lay myself at the altar and allow my body to be a living sacrifice before Him. Because I want to know what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God in my life. How do I step into that place where, for Hans, Tulsa is in revival? Where it's not just a statement of faith, but it's a truth that resonates from within me. Because this is the adjustment that God is making in 2020 during this time. And I don't want to say that it's just 2020. I'm not saying it to put a date on it or a year on it. I'm saying this season, what God is doing is making the adjustment on the inside of us to where the things that we're talking about, the yelling that we're doing is not just rhetoric and not just noise, not just words, but it becomes a reality in our heart that the adjustment is made to where what we're saying, what we're seeing in our mind, what we're believing with our heart becomes who we are, and we're able to manifest that in the earth. Because the Jesus in you wants to do what He does. Whatever it is in you, that's why He said that each member in particular has a part to play. So that's why we're many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. I don't want to get hung up on the word office, because everyone wants to talk about the apostle or the prophet or the pastor, teacher, evangelist, whatever. You know, I know some of the things that God has said to me about what He's called me to, but I gave up those titles a long time ago because I couldn't figure it out anyway. I was like, well, you know, Lord, I'm going to do what You tell me to do. And I believe that's what God is saying. You know, if He wants to empty the wheelchairs through the children that come out of the nursery because they got a revelation of what God wants to do through them, so be it. You know, we have to come to a place where we're not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And that doesn't just mean that you think you're better than someone else, but sometimes it means you don't think you're good enough when God says you are. Who are you to say you can't be used in these ways? Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. If God has said it, you're His. If you've been willing, if you've put your life on the altar as a living sacrifice, then you're going to be able to determine what that perfect will of God is for your life. And then you have no right to say, I can't do that. You have no right to speak more highly of yourself than God speaks of you. What authority do I have to say what I can do if my life is a living sacrifice before the Lord? I don't have that authority. I can't say, well, you know, that's the prophet's job, Lord. I can't speak that today. He said, well, I told you to say it. Don't think so highly of yourself. You know? Hallelujah. We often think that thinking highly of ourselves has to do with being haughty or being built up above another person, and that's true. And that's what we probably have been most accustomed to, what we've seen a lot of, and what we recognize as being someone thinking more highly of themselves than they ought to think. But it's the same way, as I said, if you count yourself out and say, well, I'm not able to, I'm not qualified, I don't have the education, don't have this or that, then you are also thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Because if it's what God's called you to do and told you to do, then we need to think like He thinks. Your mind needs to be renewed to His. You know, when I look a lot of times at some of the things that I've done and some of the things the Lord has asked me to do, there are many people that would be more qualified in the natural, that have more education, they have more charisma, whatever it might be. But the problem is, He didn't call them. He called me. And it's the same thing with each one of you. We have this idea that you can fill in the blank with any name you want, but we could say this is Pastor Dave's revival, you know. And we're just following him into this. But see, each person has a place and a role to play. And there's this lie that says, well, if you don't do it, somebody else will. Or there's someone more qualified. There may be someone more qualified. There may be someone who will do what you won't do. But what you're called to do and the position that God has for you cannot be filled by someone else. It simply doesn't get done. I remember when the Lord spoke to me about Africa. And He would say some, to me, very bold and outrageous things. And one time He said, you're my man in Africa. I was like, God, there's a lot of people called to Africa. He says, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you. And see, we get this idea that when God talks to you about something, that you're just one of many that He's talking to. But He's not. He's talking to you. So you say, well, whatever it might be, yeah, I'm called. God says, you're my man for business, or you're my woman for business, or for helps, or for governments, or for whatever it might be. Our first thought is, you know, we think of someone else that's much better and more qualified. So, Tim does a better job than I do at any of those things. How can I even hold a candle to that? And God's saying, what in the world are you talking about? What difference does it make what I called someone else to do? How does that affect what I said to you? It's like when He was talking to Peter and Peter says, you know, what about John? What's going to happen to him? He says, if he's here till I return, what difference does that make? What is that to you? And we have to understand that as our mind is being renewed to what God is calling us to do and the specific things that He's giving us in this life and in this revival and in every portion of how we live, those things are for you and you alone. It is as if God has cut out a silhouette in the shape of you, and you're the only person that will fit into that place of the Spirit. And without you there, there's a gap. And that's where we're at. We're at a place where God is saying, okay, I have positions available. And He's looked around, He's looking around, and He's saying, you're a general, you're a private, you're a gunner. I don't know all the positions in the army, but He's picking out the different places where we are to fill. And it's up to us to stand in rank and say, and be trained and be brought up and say, yes, Lord, I will do that. The thing is, we're already been trained. And my son is in the army, and he went through basic training. And with basic training, you're equipped and ready for the army. But that wasn't the end of his training. Then he had to go to something called AIT, Advanced Infantry Training. And in that training, he learned the very specific task that he was to do as the position that he has in the army. And he's in infantry, so he learned about guns, and I don't know what all he learned about, but he went through that specific training. And you know, even after he went through the training, they would send them away for weeks at a time sometimes for specific training, maybe desert training or another type of training. And I believe this is what God is doing right now. We've been through basic training. We've been through advanced infantry training. And now it's like God is putting us at a place just like He's calling us into that intimacy where we stand face to face with Him. And He's able to say, here you go. Today, this is what you do. And He wants us to learn to receive our orders directly from Him for everything that we do. So that in the day of revival, which I still am saying we're in that day, in the day of revival, there's nobody scrambling and wondering, what am I supposed to do? Because we've been trained, we've been conditioned, we've been put into that place where we hear the Father's voice. We hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, and another voice we don't follow. And that's not just a novel idea, it's a reality. And for me, I was about to say something, and I was asking the Lord how to put this the right way. So for me, I've always wanted it to be there. I hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, and another voice I don't follow. But there's been several times when I took a trip to the barbershop. You all know what I'm saying when I say that? I heard a voice that I believed was the voice of the Good Shepherd. But when I got there, it wasn't exactly what it was supposed to be. And there's not a condemnation in that. It's not, listen, we're all learning. We're all in this training. We're all together in this. And the wonderful thing about God is He's not interested in anyone getting hurt. He's not interested in any casualties. He doesn't calculate war like we do. He doesn't look at how many troops that might be lost. He says, this is what we need to win, and we win. He's not going to send you out there to die. He's not going to send you out there to lose. And so, as we're listening for the voice of our Good Shepherd, if we miss it, then we should be able to recognize that I still have some offering to make. I still have some purging to get done. I was reminded this week of a couple of prophecies. You know, I was here at the prayer center. I began attending here somewhere around 1994, and I had left for a short time, and then I was married in 96, and we continued to be here at the prayer center. About 2007, I left to pastor a church for a time, and then I think we came back about 2015. So in all those years, we've been in and out, but we've been connected to the prayer center. And one of the two things that the Lord spoke to me as I stepped into the mission field of Guthrie, Oklahoma, as a pastor, the first thing he said to me was this, and Gary has led us through these confessions about revival, and it holds true. He said to me, corruption in the government has bled over into my church. Now, he was speaking of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Of course, we could probably say that about almost any place, but specifically there. But he said, my desire is for the government of the church to bleed over into the world. And so, if we're looking to our nation or our governments or the things around us to bring change, we're looking in the wrong place, right? God has always wanted to come from within and affect change. That's some of the writings of Paul. The reason he had to write to them was because they were allowing the influence of the world around them to be a part of the church. And he's saying, listen, you're the light of the world. You're supposed to be an influence to them. You're supposed to come out from among them. You're supposed to be separate. You're supposed to be holy. You're supposed to be righteous. And he had to continue to remind them and teach them those things. And today, I believe that in this church, if you've been here for very long at all, which everyone in here tonight has been here long enough to know those things, that we're separate and that we're come out from among them. And, you know, we should be able to walk in the truth that God has given us. We're old enough, we're mature enough that we should at least be able to stand, to have our eyes on Jesus and not on the world, the things that are going on around us. And our mind should be renewed enough that we allow the Holy Spirit to build up in us enough light that we affect the world instead of the world affecting us. The government doesn't have the answers for us. We have the answers for them. And then the other thing that, as I was facing some difficulties and some challenges and things were not going as peacefully as I had hoped, and a lot of chaos was, to be real honest, was trying to be thrown around in our church and in my life. And I was driving home, and I'm just trying to listen to the Lord, and he said, in order for the church to succeed, it has to die. And I said, you know, I've given a lot of prophetic words in my life, and I was like, God, I appreciate that, but I can't tell anybody that. You know, I was like, he just continued to say that, and I remember sharing that at the church, and I got some really crazy phone calls, you know, and then people are telling me, we've had enough dying, it's time to live. I said, I agree, but if we're going to live, we're going to have to die. And I feel like the reason that these things are coming to mind today is it has everything to do with completing the purging process. And we have to be determined. It doesn't happen on accident. You know, you don't accidentally put your flesh to death. It just doesn't happen. You know, you may die accidentally, but not in the way that God wants us to do this, right? You can't accidentally crucify someone. And so it's the same thing with we're crucifying someone. We're crucifying the old man. We're crucifying the nature of the flesh. And it cannot be a passive idea that it's good enough. You know, we can't ever get to that place where we're complacent with this thing. And what I believe is happening is that the temptation is to look at someone else and say, Gary's got this. Come on, Brother Gary, bring us into revival. We'll follow you. And when things get really tough, I'm ready to jump in. But for now, I'm happy. Give me another Coke. You know, when the Lord's saying, I want you to cut back on this, I want you to stop doing this, this needs to be removed from your life. But we're not hearing it because we're too involved with our own life and our own things. Because sometimes the lies of the enemy is that, you know, you do enough good and you'll be able to affect change. But that isn't true. There is a thought that comes. One of the lies the enemy uses in the church, and especially in a church like this, all you got to do is pray in tongues and God will take care of everything. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of the problems in you and expect you to do something about it as he exposes it to you. He'll take you down a journey and he'll take you by the hand and he'll help you see and understand and know what to do to be prepared for what he's doing. But he's not going to take care of all of that. He may be telling you to put down the fork and you're wanting to pray about it. He's telling you you need to spend some more time in worship and you're like, well, I'm not sure if that's really God. Let me pray about it a little more. That's during the time that I watch my favorite TV show, so maybe next week. I'm not saying this for condemnation, nor am I saying that this fits everybody in here tonight. I'm just saying that it's a serious time. And that each one of us have sacrifices that we need to make, and each one of us has to become that living sacrifice. Because one thing I know about a sacrifice, it may be living when you begin, but it's dead when it's all over with. When it's a sweet smelling offering before the Lord and you burn it, it's not something that gets back up and crawls off the altar. We have to be able to live in that place where no longer do I have any say over my own life. But it's, Lord, your will be done. If it was tough for Jesus, why would we think it's going to be something easy on us? If the Son of God, which we know he was in flesh and blood form, but a man without sin, if it caused him to his sweat to turn to blood because of the anguish of having to realize what he was going to go through. Now realize that what he was going through is nothing compared to what we're going through. But he had more right than anyone to be able to say no. He was perfect. He didn't have any sin. The Bible tells us he could have called 10,000 angels. And if it was that kind of anguish that he went through to say, okay, I'll do that. Now, why do we think that it's going to be a walk in the park? Why should we think that we can do this on our own? Why think more highly of yourself than you ought to think? But become humble before the Lord and say, God, without you, this isn't going to happen. I'm doomed. And that's just the facts. God, if you don't do this, it doesn't get done. And so, Lord, how do I get myself to the place where you can do this? My job is to work on me. And your job is to work on you. And then corporately, we have an opportunity to come together and worship the Lord and let God move. And I believe in these atmospheres, when we come together, there's an anointing present that we can grab a hold of that God is pouring out to a grace to enter in and receive what we need to go back to the closet or whatever the individual mandate is for us and to continue to finish that purging process. So it's important that we come together. It's important that we receive from one another because God knows who's here. And he knows who's going to be here next week. And he knows who's going to be here the week after. And when we come, he tailors his service for us. I absolutely 100% believe that tonight's service would be different if there are different people here. Because God knows what is needed And we don't just show up here to have church and to listen to another message or another sermon, but we're here to receive from the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We're here to receive from the Holy Spirit of God and be changed from glory to glory, to go through this transformation, this metamorphosis, or I'll let Gary teach you how that word's supposed to work, but metamorphoo, or however that is in the Greek. We're here to receive something else tonight to add to our arsenal so that when we go home, we're able to finish the purging process. And however long it takes, we're going to finish it. And that's why I'm saying this is a season. I would to God it was a few days. I wish I could say that it was a month. I wish I could say that it was a week. I have no idea the season that we're in, but I believe that we're in a season that precedes revival. And I don't mean like someday. I mean immediately when we get to the end of this season, we're stepping into that which God has for us. And we are told that we are the forefront of this revival. There was this morning in worship, I saw this vision. And I feel like where we are right now is like a roller coaster. When you're going up that hill and you get to the top and you're going to go down. But we don't know how far it is yet to get to the top. And sometimes as it's clicking away, click, 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 is the next click going to be the one that pushes us over? Or is it going to be 10 more clicks or 1,000 more clicks? Or how long is it going to be? And we must not grow weary in well-doing. But we continue on in our walk with God as though we're already there. And as we do, He's pulling us up that hill. And I see that as the forerunners of revival, we're pulling, and dare I say, the body of Christ into this outpouring that God is pouring out on the earth. But we're on the hill. We're on our way to the top. And we must not lose hope. We cannot faint, not now. And we can't put all the burden on Gary or on Alan or on anyone else that's in leadership. We have to take the responsibility for ourselves to be in the place where we need to be. And we can't be so immature that we compare ourselves to where someone else is. We've got to look at what God has said for us to do and what He set before us and what He says and say, yes, sir, I'll do that. And no longer will I be concerned with what my brother thinks about what I'm doing today. But I know, Lord, I'm following You. I know that I'm doing what You've asked me to do. You know, I know that maybe someone expects me to be at a certain place, but Lord, I'm going to be where You told me to be. I'm going to do what You've asked me to do. And I'm going to let You pull me up this hill so that we can step over into the fullness of what You have for us. And it's not even close to being just about us. This is about pulling. These are some tough words to say sometimes, but I believe, I'll say it that way, I believe it's about pulling the body of Christ or the church into this move of God. I don't know exactly what that looks like. It doesn't, and it certainly does not put any one of us at a better or a higher place than anyone else in the body of Christ. It's just the place that He told us to be. He said we're the forerunners of this revival. So humility says, I'll be who You say I am. If you want to be prideful and say, well, you know, I'll let somebody else do it. I don't want to get in the way. I don't know. No, humility says, okay, Lord, if that's what You want, I'll do that. It doesn't make me better. It makes me Yours. So we're going to do the confessions in just a moment. The last thing I'm going to say, flesh cannot eradicate flesh. So I would just caution you in this. Sometimes we hear a message, or we get excited about what the Lord is saying, We're going to complete this purging process. So I'm just going to clear my calendar and I'm just going to go in there and I'm going to pray in tongues more than I've ever prayed before. That's a great idea and it's a good thing to do. But don't ever allow that to be. Don't allow a formula to be the answer. Okay? We know praying in tongues, fasting, worship, assimilating the word. We know these are the keys. We know these are the answers to help us. These are the tools that we use. This is the walk that we're on, the path, the born again trail that we're standing on. But don't allow pride to say, I'm going to do this. This is how I'm going to finish the purging process. No, the way that we're going to finish the purging process is saying, Lord, I'm yours. God, I want to be completely empty. I want to be completely yours. I want to be a living sacrifice to you. And I, in my own self and in my own flesh, have no ability and no way to do this. And so I'm trusting you. And it might mean spending many more hours than before. But it might mean an adjustment in your heart so that the time that you are spending is productive and it is completely poured out to Him and not just trying to accomplish something in your own strength. Because you might think, I can be deader than you. And we can get just as ridiculous in our pursuit, in falling into the trap of the enemy, where the Spirit is leading us into this, where the effort is simply to turn off the voice of the flesh and hear the voice of the Spirit. Now, don't get me wrong. I realize it's a sacrifice, but at the end of it all, it's really not. What are we sacrificing? We're sacrificing death for life? Come on. We're giving up those things that sow to the flesh in order to sow to the Spirit. And so I just want to encourage you that as we're completing the purging process, as we're confessing the Word of God, as we're praying more in other tongues, and as you know, we're open here during the week to come and pray on Wednesday and on Friday and Saturday. As you're doing that, be mindful of the Spirit and be following the Holy Spirit so that He's the one that's purging us. He's the one that's eradicating the things that need to be eradicated in our life. And don't get caught up into the formulas of the flesh. Amen? That's my message for you tonight. We're going to go on to the confessions. If anyone needs to leave, you're free to do so. Let's confess over our city. I just really sense the presence of God here right now. Give me just a second, please. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we worship you. We never want to be in a hurry, God. Have your way. Hallelujah, Jesus. And you know, the Lord is so pleased with this house. He's so pleased. He's so pleased with He's pleased with you and He loves you. Amen. Hallelujah.